What's up, the Chit Talk Reviews? I'm John. In the room with me, David, Jay, and Derek. What's the word, fellas? How are you?
What is up?
Buzzo is the word.
King Buzzo. Yeah. We're talking about the Melvins' new album today, Tarantula Heart. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited, man. I'm so excited. I haven't followed their stuff too crazy over the past, well, I'm regrettably say the last decade or so, but
yeah, it's 1987, John.
Yeah. I was,
The first album I think came out in
was 87. Yeah. Louis Porch Treatments.
Right. So they've been around.
They have definitely been around. I was a massive fan in the early days. I got to see them in 91 and 94 in Kalamazoo. One show in a tiny little club Soda, amazing venue. Yeah. And the second time I saw them was in 93, 94, and they were opening up for L7 at the State Theater in Kalamazoo, and that was by far one of the loudest shows I have ever been to. It was painfully loud, right. But young me, it was the greatest thing I'd experienced, man. It was unbelievable. Powerful band, sludge band out of the Seattle area. I think they were actually out of Aberdeen, same town as Kurt Cobain. They, of course, all ran in the same circles back then.
Put it this way: if the Melvins did not exist, Nirvana does not exist, and Soundgarden does not exist.
Right.
King Buzzo refers to them as being vocalizers of his rock philosophies. Kurt Cobain was an annoyance, to Buzzo, and wanted to be in that band so badly. And so he was a huge, influence on Nirvana and Kurt Cobain. And we would not have them. I think I'm right about this.
I think Buzzo, King Buzzo, introduced Dave Grohl and Kurt there after the first Nirvana record. So yeah, they are very in intertwined. And a lot of the guys that have played with the Melvins over the years, and ladies, have gone on to do other things. Matt Lucan, bass player, went on to found Mudhoney. And speaking of the lady, we would be remiss in not mentioning Lorax, Lori Black, on bass, who played with them for a number of years. Who, fun fact, Dave, I don't know if you know this, that Shirley Temple's daughter played bass with the Melvins.
Right. How about that?
How fucking they awesome
have 10,
is that?
Ten or four, I don't know, more than 10, maybe former members. So they've had some massive turnover, in this band. So pretty impressive that.
King Buzzo and Dale Crover on drums. Yeah. Dale has been with him since the very beginning. He played bass for a while, but the two of them are definitely the throughputs in this band. And on this album, Stephen Shane McDonald on bass and backing vocals, and of course Ray. Ministry Moyaga. Drummer came
Ray did Mayorga.
Did some dueling drums on this, and it's great, man. I'm excited. What do you guys think about it? Because I could go on all damn night.
You want to go, Derek? Go ahead.
Yeah, in the end of the day, it's a Melvins record. I still listen to Stoner Witch and Houdini. Those are constant, records in my life. Every time a Melvins record comes out, I pick it up. Listen to it. My wife and I have a good chuckle. This through and through was a Melvins record. It's the perfect combination of sludge, doom, grunge, all of those things combined. Great tones, great creativity. I love, and we'll get into the songs, but I love juxtapositions of sounds. And that's been a staple of King Buzzo. And look, this is his shindig, right? Yeah. And he's consistently been, and the band has consistently been, who they are, and that's why they have the following that they have. So love the record, and glad to be talking about it. I'm glad you picked it.
Yeah, David.
Yeah, I don't really know much about the Melvins. I know they go back a long ways. I actually knew somebody, this girl who I went to grammar school with, kept in touch with her for some time, and she actually would listen to the Melvins. That's really the only bit of music I've ever listened to from them really was through her. But a cool band, cool vibe, like Derek said. It sounds like they have their, I'd be a liar if I said I've listened to or know a lot of their music. I don't, but you know, I didn't love it, but I didn't certainly didn't hate it. It's an acquired taste for sure. At least it was.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Melvins are undeniably Melvins. And I think they're one of those things that if you're in, if it's the vibe you dig, you're going to love this record.
Right.
Do you want to know how to clear out a party? Is put on She's Got Weird Arms. Because the strange Primus,
it's a silly song, you know what I mean?
British new wave vocals, you know, with then you know, 1 second it's this chaos, and then the next it's like these Beatles like melodies,
right?
You want to clear a room out, put that shit on. I mean that in the best way possible.
Heads in that song, a little bit of Talking Heads feel.
Yeah, a little Devo flavor in there. Yeah,
exactly.
But that is one of the things. That track is one of the standouts for me because it's so undeniably Melvins. That is what they do. They push it out there different and mix it up. I mean, the first track. I mean, you can't dismiss the fact that it's a 19, 20 minute opus of a track. You know, it's
killer.
Killer
song.
Devolution of music in four parts, three or four parts.
Right.
It's an amazing opener. To me, the record, largely because of that long opening track, is extremely reminiscent of their first record, Gluey Porch Treatments, which also opened up with a really spacey, you know, albeit a bit shorter, opus track called Eye Flies. And it's amazing. But they push the boundaries. They get real experimental in a lot of ways in this record. And I think they did a great job with it.
That Pain Equals Funny, that track you're talking about, it had that garage rock tone to it. You know, I could see a metal band just putting the equipment right in the garage and just shredding. It had that feel. But yeah, I agree, John. Great song, you know.
They switch things up this time. Usually they have songs written and prepared when they go in the studio, and this time around they jammed, which is awesome. I think that the outcome of that Pain Equals Funny probably isn't a 20 minute long song. If they had written this and then went into the studio and recorded it, there's a lot of jam elements there. The other night I was cooking and listening to it, and I looked over and it's still going. I'm like, oh yeah, it is. It's a 20 minute song, but it's still, it's great. You know, some punk records are 5 minutes long. And so, I think it's magic. I think every time the Melvins do anything, there's magic in there. There's creativity. You know, they're kind of the Salvador Dali of music, you know, putrid 1 second and dare I say optimistic at other times and then silly at other moments.
And well said.
Salvador Dali is very much that if you are into art.
Yeah. Well, King Buzzo has always been sort of an enigmatic, mysterious magic guy in that regard. You know, he can bring all these different flavors into the kitchen, man. And you kind of have an idea what you're going to get, but then you don't. And that's what's so great about the Melvins. And they've consistently done that over 37, 38 years now. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And his voice is super, super solid, which is saying something given, you know, his general chosen, you know, style of singing. He rips, but he sounds great.
Smiler, riffy, thrashy, raw, just in your face. And, you know, to be this late into the game, and still, you know, breaking a 2x4 over the listener's head. Awesome. I wasn't expecting that riff out of the gate there at the end of the record. And, you know, it twinkled my heart, made me happy.
Yeah. I love the dueling drums. They've done that a couple times over the years, twin drummers, twin bass players. And, you know, there are situations where you start to bring in, you know, two, three players on one instrument. It can start to get crowded and things can start to get a little messy. But they managed to avoid that here, particularly with the drums. They did a great job trading off and accenting what the other one was doing. I mean, Dale Crover he's kind of like a sludge metal version of Animal from the Muppets. I mean, he pounds.
Right. Yeah.
He plays with incredible force and has been known to, you know, play massive, huge big drums as well, which obviously are a little on the louder and lower pitch side. So the fact that they were able to successfully balance out two drummers really well across this album, I thought was a bit of an accomplishment. And they've done it before, but they do it very, very well this time around. Standouts. Who liked what?
For me, it was, hold on a minute, John. It was Smiler and Pain Equals Funny. Those were my two. I mean, it was only, what, four or five songs, but, yeah. You know.
They still they'll leave it up to Melvins to write a five-song album. That's, yeah, what, 40, 43 minutes?
Well, long. Yeah, that first song was long.
Yeah.
It's actually 39 minutes. 39. Just to keep you, you know, right on target here. You know, we don't want those trolls, you know, to
we
tell
don't want
us
that guy, so we don't know shit. Yeah.
Pain Equals Funny was just everything that you like about the Melvins, if you've liked the Melvins at all, mm-hmm, in your life. You know, Working the Ditch it's belligerent, it's honest, it's raw. It was the big hit of this record, the release for radio. Nobody's going to play it on the radio, you know, yeah, and that's fine. I think they like it that way. Yeah. She's Got Weird Arms, just, it stood out for me. It's just a funky, strange, trade-off. And, I love it. And then Smiler is, I like it. It's a banger. Allergic to Food was weird. It's kind of like if the Beach Boys were on ample drugs and depressed, which I, you know, look, I'm not going to say that anything on this record sucks, because it just doesn't. It's the Melvins. And, you know, I don't know who has the tarantula heart, but whoever has it inspired a great record.
Couldn't agree more.
Very good. Very cool.
Yeah, guys. My standout, yeah, Allergic to Food, I really enjoyed. And She's Got Weird Arms, just because it's Melvins doing the Melvins thing and being able to sandwich stuff together in a package that tastes really good. It makes me want to eat more.
Right. So, you guys, yeah, have weird everything, just so you know. You know, you're just, thank you, everything about you. I'm around you, it's just fucking weirdos, like weird mutated mutants.
It's a badge of honor. Badge of honor to be the one with weirdness. Well, let's put numbers on it. What do you guys think?
Well, listen, I'll go first. I mean, like I said, I don't know the band as much as you guys do. From what, mm-hmm, I heard, I like it. I don't have 27 albums, so these guys are doing something right, right? The fuck do I know? I mean, these guys are still doing it at that age. Absolutely incredible. So based on that and what I heard, I'd give it a 7, you know?
I would say that nothing that Salvador Dali did in his artistic life was below an 8. And I would say that nothing that the Melvins have done in their artistic life is below an 8. So I'm going to give them a solid 8.
All right.
Very good. Well said. And I don't disagree. And I'm going to bump you up one and give it a 9, because I,
wow,
love it.
No,
I think
shit,
it is,
John,
a perfect Melvins record. I wish it was longer.
Nice.
I wish it had, yeah, more material, but it's perfect.
Very,
you know,
cool.
They're firing on all cylinders. I thought the mix and the production was fantastic. Toshi Kasai produced and mixed it. Please comment if I have that wrong. Like and subscribe also. Thanks so much. But yeah, I think it is a perfect Melvins record. And I was so excited to hear it and just super psyched to get more. So
I would have scored it higher, but I don't know the band enough. You know, I just, but.
Well, like we said, Melvins isn't, admittedly, Melvins is not for everybody, in the same way Slayer isn't for everybody or Celine Dion isn't for everybody, you know?
Right.
I think if you're into what they do, this album, you know, is a super awesome listening experience, and you're going to love
it. It's an acquired taste, like I said, right?
Yeah.
You know, you have to have that.
If you're not into it, it's like listening to anything else that you find grating, or, you know, just the first track, Pain Equals Funny, at 20 minutes. That's a lot of music to get through. And if you don't love it, it's going to be a hard 20 minutes for you. So
yeah.
I get it. I'm not going to beat you up for not loving it, but
yeah, I get it.
Hey, hopefully
mad respect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I said, mad respect.
Hopefully two or three people, you know, namely my mother or sisters, you know, think, hey, I should check out the Melvins.
Yeah, maybe six.
Might be a good album. Maybe six. Yeah. Maybe two flakes, you know, you don't know. But, well, I loved listening to it. So glad you guys were willing to accommodate me with it.
Very nice, John.
So David is up next.
Now, listen, I apologize because you guys might know this band. I stumbled upon them. I don't know how to pronounce it because I don't know if it's saying something. So I'm just going to say it. It's D.
Dune.
No, D V N E. I'm assuming Dune. It sounds like divine. Is it Dune?
I'm going with Dune.
Okay. Well, the album is called Void Kind. And awesome. I'm telling you, man, it is. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. If you already, I hope you haven't, but I can't wait for you to hear it.
I haven't, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Great. Yeah. Well, always a treat to shoot it, shoot the shit with you guys, the proverbial nonsense machine. So look forward to doing this again. And we'll see ya.
See ya. Flex, Derek. Give him the muscles. Come on, one time. Yeah.